Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey everyone, I'm Laura Adams, your Money Girl host since 2008. I'm also the author of a new book, Money Smart Solopreneur, a personal finance system for freelancers, entrepreneurs, and side hustlers. It's officially on sale everywhere books are sold as an ebook and a paperback. Since the outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic in March, life and business certainly have changed. If you're self-employed full-time, you earn business income on the side of a day job, or you want to start a side gig, this show is for you. We're going to cover several stimulus benefits that apply to self-employed people, but many of them also apply to individuals. So even if you don't have a business, I would encourage you to stick with me if you're interested in learning ways to cope with financial challenges right now. And before I get started, I want to thank Jade Wu, host of the Quick and Dirty Tips podcast, Savvy Psychologist, for having me as a guest on her most recent episode, number 312. Jade and I discuss how to reduce money anxiety. So this is another great resource if you're looking for tips to reduce worries about your financial future and get actionable advice. You can visit quickanddirtytips.com to learn more about Jade. And you'll find the notes for this and every show in the Money Girl section at quickanddirtytips.com. This is episode number 654, called 10 COVID-19 Stimulus Benefits for the Self-Employed. If you're experiencing economic hardship due to the pandemic, today's show will give you some of the new regulations that could be the ticket for managing your personal and business finances better. And many of them are stemming from the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, which is known as the CARES Act. This became law on March 27 as the largest stimulus legislation in American history since the New Deal in the 1930s. We're going to cover 10 ways that it provides relief for individual entrepreneurs, small business owners, and as I mentioned, some of these also apply just to individuals, even if you're not a business owner. So the first one is getting lower interest rates. On March 3rd, the Central U.S. Bank, which is known as the Federal Reserve or Fed, made a surprising emergency interest rate cut of 0.5 percentage point. That's the largest single rate cut since the financial crisis of 2008. And while this move wasn't part of a coronavirus stimulus package, it was an aggressive cut meant to prepare the economy for problems the pandemic was expected to cause. And recently, in mid-September, the Fed reiterated its promise to keep interest rates near zero until the economy improves and the unemployment rate declines. They indicated that a recovery could take a few years, which likely means the Fed rate stays near zero through 2023. While savers never celebrate low interest rates, they are beneficial to borrowers. In general, the financing charge on variable rate credit cards and lines of credit goes down in lockstep with interest rates. Carrying a balance on your personal and business credit cards may be slightly less expensive depending on your card issuer and the type of card. For instance, if your card's annual percentage rate or APR is 20%, your adjusted rate could go down to 19.5%. Now, if you have a fixed-rate credit card, the APR does not change, no matter what happens in the economy or with the federal interest rates. And also note that if you pay off your balances in full each month, a credit card's APR is irrelevant because you don't pay interest on purchases. So paying those balances off each month is definitely the best way to use a credit card, either for personal or business. All right, the second benefit is having more time to file taxes. Earlier this year, the due date for filing and paying 2019 federal taxes was postponed from April 15 to July 15, 2020. You didn't have to be sick or negatively impacted by COVID-19 to qualify for this federal tax delay. It applied to any person or business entity with taxes due on April 15th. Most businesses make estimated tax payments each quarter. Those payment dates shifted too. The 2020 schedule gives you more time. So the first quarter was due on July 15. The second quarter was also due on July 15. And the third quarter was due on September 15. The fourth quarter will be due on January 15, 2021. Individuals and businesses can request an automatic extension to delay filing federal taxes, but it doesn't give you more time to pay what you owe for 2019, only more time to submit your tax form until October 15, 2020. So if you missed the tax filing deadline that was on July 15, be sure to request an extension. Individuals file Form 4868, and most incorporated businesses use Form 7004 to request that extension. Again, you've got until October 15. However, depending on where you live, you may have to pay state income taxes, which typically have not been postponed. So if you need a state tax filing extension, be sure to check with your state's tax agency to determine what's possible. Taxes due on any date other than April 15, 2020, such as sales tax, payroll tax, or estate tax, don't qualify for this relief. Benefit number three. Getting more time to contribute to retirement accounts. You typically have until April 15 or the date of a tax extension to make traditional IRA or Roth IRA contributions for the prior year. But since the CARES Act postponed the federal tax filing deadline, you also have until July 15 or October 15 if you request an extension to make IRA contributions for 2019. However, this deadline does not apply to retirement accounts you may have with an employer, such as a 401k, nor does it apply to self-employed accounts, such as a solo 401k or a SEP IRA. Those all correspond to the calendar year, so you only had until December 31st, 2019, to make contributions for 2019. The fourth benefit is getting more time to contribute to an HSA. Just like with an IRA, you typically have until April 15 or the date of a tax extension to make HSA contributions for the prior year. Under the CARES Act, you now have until July 15 or October 15, 2020 to make those HSA contributions for 2019. To qualify for an HSA, you must be covered by a qualifying high-deductible health plan. In early March, the IRS issued a notice that a high-deductible health plan may cover COVID-19 testing and treatment and telehealth services before meeting your deductible. And just as before the coronavirus, you can pay for medical testing and treatment using funds in your HSA. Benefit number five. Delaying tax on retirement withdrawals. While you typically must pay income tax on retirement account withdrawals that were not previously taxed, the good news is that for a period, you can delay or avoid tax altogether. The CARES Act gives you two options for withdrawals made in 2020. The first is to repay a hardship distribution within 3 years to your retirement account. So you can replace the funds slowly or all at once with no change to your annual contribution limit. If you take money out but return it within 3 years, it's like you never took a distribution at all. And the other option is to pay taxes on a hardship distribution from your retirement account evenly over 3 years. So let's say you take out a distribution, but you can't pay it back. In that case, you can ease your tax burden by paying one-third of your liability over a three-year period. Since withdrawing contributions from a Roth retirement account does not trigger income taxes because those were previously taxed, it's a good idea to tap a Roth before you tap a traditional retirement account when you have the option. Benefit number 6, skipping early withdrawal penalties. Most retirement accounts impose a 10% early withdrawal penalty if you take withdrawals before age 59 and a half. Under the CARES Act, if you have a coronavirus-related hardship, the penalty is waived. For instance, if you, your spouse, or a child gets diagnosed with COVID-19 or have financial challenges due to being laid off, quarantined, or closing a business, you qualify for this penalty exemption. You can withdraw up to $100,000 of your retirement account balance during 2020 without penalty. However, income taxes would still be due in most cases. This no-penalty rule applies to workplace retirement plans such as 401ks and 403bs, and it also applies to IRAs such as a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA, and a SEP IRA. Since you make after-tax contributions to Roth accounts, you can withdraw them at any time. That was also the case before the CARES Act. However, the earnings portion of a Roth is subject to income tax if you withdraw it before age 59 and a half.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there, I want to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts, Freakonomics Radio. Every week, host and best-selling author Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of business, economics, and so much more. He interviews CEOs, historians, and Nobel laureates to explore all kinds of topics, like why the best employees can make the worst bosses, and how whales went from being economic engines to environmental icons. If you're a curious person looking to better understand the world around you, you'll find everything you're looking for on Freakonomics Radio. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Benefit number 7, getting larger retirement plan loans. Some workplace retirement plans, such as a 401k and 403b, permit loans. Typically, you can borrow 50% of your vested account balance up to $50,000 and then repay that with interest over a five-year period. But for retirement plans that do allow loans, the CARES Act doubles this limit to 100% of your vested balance in the plan up to $100,000. This applies to loans you take from your account until late September 2020, so the deadline is looming. You can delay the repayment period for a retirement plan loan for up to 1 year. For example, if you have $20,000 vested in your 401k, you could take a $20,000 loan on September 30th, 2020, and delay the repayment term until September 30, 2021. Then you'd have payments stretched over 5 years, ending on September 30, 2026. Any amount not repaid by the deadline would be subject to tax and a 10% early withdrawal penalty. Note that individual retirement accounts, such as traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs, and SEP IRAs, do not allow participants to take loans, only hardship distributions. So this is something that will apply to those of you who've got a workplace plan, and if you're looking at taking a loan, this is something you would need to do pretty quickly in order to get the benefit that I'm talking about here. Benefit number 8, suspending student loan payments. Starting on March 13, 2020, most federal student loans went into automatic forbearance until the end of September. This, again, is due to the CARES Act. Now, on August 8th, last month, the suspension of student loan payments was actually extended through December 31st, 2020. The suspension covers a variety of loans. These are going to be your direct loans that are either subsidized or unsubsidized, direct plus loans, direct consolidation loans, FFEL loans, which are federal family education loans, and federal Perkins loans. However, note that FFEL loans owned by a private lender or Perkins loans held by your education institution do not qualify for automatic forbearance because they're not owned by the government. However, you may have the option to consolidate these loans into a direct loan, which would be eligible for forbearance. Just make sure that once the suspension ends, your new consolidated interest rate wouldn't rise significantly. During forbearance, qualifying loans don't accrue additional interest. And even if you have federal student loans in default because you haven't made payments, 0% interest applies during the suspension period. And again, this goes through the end of 2020. Additionally, missed payments during the suspension don't get reported to the credit bureaus, and they can't hurt your credit. Qualifying payments you skip also count toward any federal loan repayment or forgiveness plans that you might be enrolled in. So there's no downside to taking advantage of this forbearance. However, if you want to continue making student loan payments during the suspension period, you can. With 0% interest, the amount you pay will get applied to your principal student loan balance, enabling you to get out of debt faster. And if you're not sure what type of student loan you have or the pros and cons of consolidation, be sure to contact your loan servicer to discuss it. Even if your student loans are with private lenders or with an institution, they may offer you relief if you request it. So definitely contact your loan servicer to talk about your options. Benefit number 9, having Paycheck Protection Program or PPP loans forgiven. The PPP is part of the CARES Act, and it supports small businesses, organizations, and solopreneurs facing economic hardship created by the pandemic. The program began providing relief in early April 2020, and the application window ended in early August 2020. Participating PPP lenders coordinated with the Small Business Administration, or SBA, to offer loans to businesses in operation by February 15, 2020, with fewer than 500 employees. Loan amounts could be up to 2.5 times the average monthly payroll, up to $10 million. However, annual salaries were capped at $100,000. So what this means for a solopreneur is the maximum PPP loan was $20,833 if your 2019 net profit was at least $100,000. So it capped you out at $100,000. Now, when you spend at least 60% of that loan on payroll and the remaining 40% on things like rent, mortgage interest, and utilities, you can have those amounts forgiven from repayment. And payroll does include payments to yourself, but you can't cover benefit costs like retirement contributions or payments to independent contractors as a qualifying expense. In other words, what this boils down to is that a solopreneur could have received a PPP loan for up to $20,833, paid the entire amount to themselves as a salary, and not have to repay it by having the loan forgiven. And using a PPP loan for qualifying expenses basically turns it into a grant. However, if you're not a solopreneur and you have employees, the PPP forgiveness calculations and requirements get a little bit more complex. For example, you must maintain reasonable salaries and wages, and you have to keep any full-time employees on your payroll. But if you had employees who left your company voluntarily or requested a cut in hours or maybe got fired for cause during the pandemic, your loan forgiveness amount won't be reduced for those situations. So there's a little complexity to it, but the best part about PPP loan forgiveness is that it won't qualify as federal taxable income. Some states that charge income tax have indicated that they won't tax forgiven amounts either. However, not all states have issued their rules on taxing PPP forgiveness, so be sure to get guidance if you live in a state with income tax. You have to complete a PPP loan forgiveness application and get it approved by your lender to qualify for forgiveness. The paperwork should come from your lender, or you can download it from the SBA website at sba.gov. Most PPP borrowers have from 6 months after they got their loan or until the end of 2020 to spend the funds. And the forgiveness application explains what documents you have to include, and they vary depending on whether you have employees or not. Once you submit your paperwork, the lender has 60 days to decide how much of your PPP loan can be forgiven. If some or all of a PPP loan is not forgiven, you typically must repay it within 5 years at a 1% fixed interest rate. So that's not very much. You don't have to start making payments for 10 months after loan disbursement, but interest will accrue during the deferral period. Okay, number 10, the final benefit is getting SBA loans. In addition to these PPP loans that I've talked about, the SBA offers several loans for businesses and solopreneurs facing economic hardship caused by a disaster, and that includes the COVID pandemic. One of them is called the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, or EIDL. This can be up to $2 million and repaid over 30 years at an interest rate of 3.75%. You can use these funds for payroll and other operating expenses. There is also something called an SBA Express Bridge Loan. This gives borrowers up to $25,000 for help overcoming a temporary loss of revenue. However, you must have an existing relationship with an SBA Express lender to qualify for this one. And there's SBA Debt Relief. This is a program that helps you make payments on existing SBA loans for up to 6 months. Depending on your state, you may qualify for unemployment assistance, which allows self-employed people who typically are ineligible for employment benefits to get them for a period. This isn't a complete list of all the economic relief available for small businesses and solopreneurs. There are federal tax initiatives, funds from local and state governments, and help from private organizations that you may find by doing a search online. When it comes to surviving uncertainty, such as how the pandemic will affect the economy, those who have emergency savings will feel much less financial stress than those who don't. That's why it's so essential to maintain a cash reserve of at least 3 to 6 months' worth of living expenses in an FDIC-insured bank savings account. If you don't need to dip into your emergency fund, fantastic. Just continue shoring it up when possible. If you don't have a cash reserve, it's time to start accumulating some savings by cutting non-essential expenses and even temporarily pausing contributions to retirement accounts. That's actually a better option than succumbing to panic and tapping your retirement funds early. So again, if you are feeling a pinch, suspending retirement contributions is better than dipping into them. If you're in a cash crunch, contact your creditors before dipping into any retirement accounts that you've got. Many lenders will be willing to work with you to suspend payments or modify existing loan terms temporarily. And if you are a business owner or want to be, my new book, Money Smart Solopreneur, A Personal Finance System for Freelancers, Entrepreneurs, and Side Hustlers, covers many strategies to earn more, manage variable income, and create an automatic money system so you can strengthen your financial future. It's a great resource if you're thinking about earning a side income or you've already started a business. Many economic factors that control your personal and business finances are not under your control. Instead of worrying, look around and figure out how you can create more income or cut unnecessary expenses. Working on tasks that you can control gives you more clarity and helps manage stress in uncertain times. If you want to learn more about my new book, Money Smart Solopreneur, or you have a money question or comment, I would love to hear from you. You can use my contact page at lauradadams.com to send me an email, and I'd also love to hear your voice on our message line. Just call 302-364-0308. That's all for now. I'll talk to you next week Until then, here's to living a richer life. Money Girl is produced by the audio wizard Steve Rickyberg with editorial support from Karen Hertzberg. If you've been enjoying the podcast, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes that are always available at quickanddirtytips.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.